ago. Today, what is the date today, by the way?
Today is the 20...
I've got 29th, December 29th. This is Lyle Kwasim, and we're talking about neighborhood councils.
No, sir. Today is December the...
I see the 29th there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Today is the 29th. Yes, sir.
Why don't we just start with talking a little bit about the context of how you got involved in this, and then we can just kind of go through just a general discussion.
In your interviewees, you will find some strengths and some limitations. One of the things that I know is that as a historian, I am more of an emotional historian than a factual historian, mm-hmm. in terms of this happened at this date, or chronological historian. Mm-hmm. And I try to feel a mood of things, and mm-hmm. when mood shifts and I get a sense of direction from people involved, and those are the kind of things that I remember.
and those are important.
The city of Tacoma had a community session. If I understand the word, plenary session means all those vested stakeholders come to a meeting. And so it had a plenary session of sorts with people from the community talking about what the issues in the community were. And I was with the Safe Streets campaign at the time, and it was a community effort to deal with issues of drugs and gangs and violence, and we know that those were kind of outcomes, and so we were trying to deal with processes and communities that would change those outcomes. And so we were in a very strategic position to help the new city government and its mayor, Karen Vial, look at a set of directions for the city of Tacoma. And so my first involvement came as part of the organizational technical assistance to help one generate people to come to this plenary session, and two, to help document that session and facilitate the dialogue within the sessions. And there were a couple of sessions. And one of the things that came out of that session was to the development of neighborhood councils. And as a result, I was asked by key people in the legislative and executive branches of city government to be a part of a committee to look at the development of neighborhood councils.
You were part of a task force along, I believe, with Marion Weed, who was your co-chair.
Marion Weed ended up and it was called the summit. See, again, I tell you, I'm not a good critic, and sometimes even labels escape me. It was the summit, and I just think of the reason why I look at stakeholders who come together,
yep.
who have been. So it was a city summit.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to justify why I called it a plenary session.
That's a very good characterization.
And Marion Weed. Who had a very storied history of neighborhood involvement in working on the behalf of community persons, was a co-chair, and I was given the opportunity to be another one of the co-chairs of this committee. And we got interested persons from UNOT, which is, I forget what the exact acronym is.
United Neighborhoods of Tacoma.
United Neighborhoods of Tacoma, and from people who had organized around the Safe Streets campaign, and people who had been intrigued by the whole notion of neighborhood councils, who had no strong affiliation with either one of those organizations, but just a desire to be a part of a task force that helped to propose policy to the city council around the neighborhood councils.
Now, when we came together originally, or when we first began to meet, you and Marion and myself and Jim Walton and Skip Vaughn and Elton Gatewood, and then we had Kyle Cruz initially from the legal department, and we sat at the table to begin the process. Maybe we can talk a little bit about your thoughts and feelings as we move forward. We had on the table a proposal from UNOT, a rather extensive proposal of neighborhood councils. I think you had some reservations and some concerns. Other people did as well, but why don't you, if you can recollect some of those feelings as you began the process.
One of the things that occurred, something that happened, a couple of things that happened just before we got to this event that you just described of sitting around the table, there was a series, if I got the chronology right, there was a series of developmental meetings with different organizations and different personalities in those organizations, because I guess organizations are often characteristic of the people who help to shape them and make them a really a dynamic force in that, as the personality and concerns of individuals involved. And sometimes life can be characterized as a struggle for control. And it was a question of who was to lead, who was to follow, who should have first position in developing the theme of this to be proposed to this to the group that you just mentioned, Bill. And so it was really interesting and a very delicate situation, and I really appreciated that no one came to the table saying, you know, I'm in charge, but you know, there are dangers and opportunities here. And the folk from UNOT, some of who were members of the Safe Streets campaign, were clearly nonplussed by the fact that this might be characterized as an anti-crime council, or the stigma that, you know, dysfunctional issues in communities are why what we organize around. And they wanted to make sure that we were here to not deny problems that we had in our neighborhoods, but also to accentuate the positive, the positive affirmation by the 99% of all the citizens who follow the rules, who play with between the lines and try to make it a better place for all concerned. And so, and that seems like a, you know, pretty a statement that doesn't tax one's intellectual capacity, but it was very difficult, and it was very cautious in our approach. We were very cautious in our approach to stating why we were there and what we were attempting to accomplish. And some people on the other side of the coin, where the folks in the Safe Streets campaign, and I was the executive director of that organization, and so I carry the pluses and minuses that brings. And other folk had their pluses and minuses, and some of it was, you know, let's make those non-responsive people in city government toe the line, and this is, you know, and this is what we will do to make sure that they are accountable. And it's good to say that neither one of those positions prevail before we came to this table, that it was not solely an anti-crime accentuating the negative, nor was it let's get those non-responsive bureaucrats and public officials to pay closer attention to what we want to do. But the dynamic part of our agenda started to come out about how we could do a better job, all of us, from persons in local neighborhoods and officials that were concerned about safety and security, and people who were concerned about governmental responsiveness and all the good things that neighborhoods do, all that could come out as a part of the neighborhood councils, and that's what brought us to the table. Once we got to the table, you asked what was my mood and what did we think about that. My first problem is that I have spent much of my life in processes that require a great deal of deliberation, and most of those are in government, and I honor that. I don't dishonor it, but I thought that we were initially being entirely too there was too much parliamentary procedure in the neighborhood councils that my idea of what motivated people were not the rules but the results. But I also know that you can't get to results without some due process, some order, some adhering to consistency. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed initially that it was too much, the waiting was too much in the direction of rules and regulations that would govern or stifle the ability for local community councils to be dynamic. But it's really interesting that anything that you bring to the table, you can see a positive in. Mm-hmm. And there's the deductive reasoning processes and the inductive reasoning mm-hmm. process. Mm-hmm. And so the question was, did we go to a very skeletal framework and expand on it, or do we go from a very detailed framework and eliminate the parts that we don't think mm-hmm. will be productive? And it looks like we went from the general to the specific, that there was a lot of stuff in our first documents that was the result of a lot of work, especially done by Skip.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there were three, Skip Fawn, and there were three people, you know, Angie Miller and Linda Bowman were the
right.
three that fashioned that.
Fashioned it, okay.
34-page.
Right, and Skip was the presenter.
Yeah.
Skip represented that document
yes.
at the meeting. And so it was a lot of work that mm-hmm. people went in, that put in to put that document on the table. And what we did, and I think in being, and this is probably the most important thing for me, is that we were people of basically goodwill, mm-hmm. With an open mind, mm-hmm. that we could ask questions and challenge the process in a productive way, and come up with a protocol, if you will, that would allow us to go out to local communities and be an enabling document, something that would help people come together and organize community councils, rather than something that was an impediment. I wouldn't want people to say these councils were developed in spite of all of this, the rules and regulations that were placed on. I would want people to say, these councils were developed, and one of the tools that assisted those councils to be developed were the protocol for the neighborhood councils. And so that was the spirit in which we began our deliberations to come up with a document which we would offer as to the people who made policy for the city, which is the city council.
So it was really where you were coming from was kind of a philosophical concern that you had, or more than a philosophical mm-hmm. concern, a concern about how. Well, of course, you came from what I would characterize. And I'm talking about Safe Streets now, mm-hmm. an organization that was open, organic, freewheeling, mm-hmm. rather than mm-hmm. bureaucratic.
Mm-hmm.
closed and structured.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a community-based organization that was had a meeting which was successful in terms of outcomes. Mm-hmm. And what we had on the table was kind of an interesting contradiction now when you think about it, because on one hand we're talking about trying to develop a way in which we can involve people in a process that will affect their lives in a positive way, but in so doing we had on the table a highly structured government within a government, in mm-hmm. a sense,
mm-hmm.
or an alternative government
mm-hmm.
with a lot of rules and regulations and that was essentially, that was, and I think perhaps maybe the key is that we at least initially, it seems to me, entertained that as something worthy of discussion.
Mm-hmm. And we did, and we discussed it, and it for some people, it was like the Magna Carta. I mean, and what we do here today shall stand for thousands of years,
mm-hmm.
and we must be show proper deliberation, and we, and for some of us, and I'm in that other group that says that, you know, documents are very important, especially when we get into difficulties that we need to go back and figure out what the
mm-hmm.
rules are. But they are not things that we necessarily live by on a day-to-day basis. I've been married for 24 years. I mean, I haven't seen my marriage license after the day I signed it. I mean, I think if we got into trouble in my marriage, I would look at it, and a lot of other people would say, now, what does this mean, and what did you obligate yourself to? And so you need to know what those
yeah.
things are. But in knowing generally what you have committed to do, then you work in good faith to make sure that those things occur. And to me, that's as long as there's good faith that things occur, the documents are important, but they are not what makes it live. The people
mm-hmm.
make it live, and we have to build confidence among the people who participate in this, the people who help structure it, who present it to the city council, and eventually the people in the neighborhood councils who have the responsibility to make this a real
mm-hmm.
event. That those were the important things for me. And again, as you say, my immediate background at that time was in the Safe Streets campaign,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we have found to be successful. And there's an old axiom that generals always fight the last war,
mm-hmm.
Especially if they were successful in that
mm-hmm.
war. And so I'm fighting for a set of conditions that I was immediately involved in and have been successful, and I thought were an important element to make this successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so you bring a whole series of points of views to
mm-hmm.
the table, and no one point of view dominates, but
mm-hmm.
we hopefully have a same theme in terms of what we value and what the outcomes are, but what methods we use to get to that
mm-hmm.
may be multiple, and we fashion the very best set of methods to
mm-hmm.
reach that conclusion. And I think that's what this group started out to do and eventually did.
You know, it's interesting because as I was going through the process, initially we had this 34-page document on the table, and then I talked to Skip, and I said, look, I said, there's no way that I can push a 34-page ordinance before the city council with any hope of getting 5 votes, and I'd like to get more than 5 votes. So let's see if we can cull this down a bit. So
mm-hmm.
this the second a stab at it was take most of the rules and procedures out, put those aside, and try to limit the number of pages to somewhere between 10 and 15. And that's
mm-hmm.
the second thing that we had enabled was about a 15-page document. We started working through that line by line, taking things out, rewriting. And then it was interesting at a key point in the discussion, as you recall, a staff came forward with their proposal,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of the very general approach.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started, and then we seemed to shift gears from moving from modifying the detail to more specific, and fashioning a document that people could live with, to taking a look at now the more general approach and adding to that enough so that everyone could buy into it.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it was real interesting when the staff came forward with an approach. Some people around the table and the groups that they represented saw this as the professional planners and persons in our bureaucracy asserting themselves over, quote unquote, the will of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know that to be true because I heard those conversations, and they weren't on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of how dramatic they were. They were maybe 4 or 5, so they weren't like, oh my God, the sky's falling, we've been had. But there was a recognition that this had come from a different source, and these modifications may be more beneficial to the administration of city government than it would be to the development of the neighborhood councils, mm-hmm. and they needed to be examined. There was also, and I said the next one I think I know, I having been a bureaucrat, I mm-hmm. think there was some concern on the part of city government mm-hmm. staff that we're going to have these runaway citizen mm-hmm. organizations
right.
on our hand, jerking us around. Mm-hmm. We'll have 3, 4, 5, 6 meetings to go to every week
yep.
by each city neighborhood council, and we don't have to show and tell, and how can we manage in this kind of atmosphere?
Mm-hmm.
And so those two concerns had to be dealt with, because I don't think you can be successful, we could not be successful without each other.
Mm-hmm.
The idea and the motivation behind neighborhood councils would be, and let me give you an example. I grew up in Chicago, and I have had the good fortune to meet and be in rooms with one of our nationally known troublemakers, Saul Alinsky. and the thing that I did not appreciate in my 25 years after reading and participating in Rebellion for Radicals,
yes.
was that basically Saul's approach was to have a neighborhood effort, and we would go and dump our demands on front of the city council.
Mm-hmm.
It was them versus us. One person used to say, well, we're going to ingest all of this stuff, and then we're going to go throw up
mm-hmm.
in front of the, mm-hmm. the people who have authority and say, now you deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that methodology worked then, and was sure that the current circumstances in the city of Tacoma would that methodology wouldn't work now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was to me critical that we were partners in this process, that neighborhoods saw city government as a partner, and the city government saw neighborhoods as a partner, so one did not have the other in tow, that we were not puppets of this administration, nor were we tyrannical, and not to inject too much of my political philosophy mm-hmm. in this, I think tyranny mm-hmm. from the right or the left doesn't make much sense. It's
right.
still tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was that concern that staff brought up, and they brought up in a positive way by, here is a document that we think that we can live with, and we've understood and heard and seen what you have put together, and here's what we, and I think that's where it becomes more important than being intellectual is the importance of having a mind to cooperate. Mm-hmm. And I think collectively we can get to a particular point. But if we're all smart and non-cooperative, we just kind of, you know, kind of like, you know, the baseball strike. Just saying, mm-hmm. I got mine, you got yours, and we won't meet on this thing. Mm-hmm. So that was very important. The staff using a positive vehicle to say what they needed. Quite often, people kind of go underground and say, well, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, you know, there's this movement afoot and it won't work, and what we'll do is that we'll just dead dog this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And when they call, we'll be busy and, you know, and it'll be bad, you know, blood, and those folks won't want to meet because we're not responsive. I mean, there are ways to sabotage mm-hmm. things, and they chose not to take, or ways that you can just be oppressed by it, that mm-hmm. you don't sabotage it, and you just, work becomes very difficult, and you don't like it, and you don't like the administration, and morale goes into the tank, and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. So this was a real moment in time that people said, here's a positive mm-hmm. way for us to acknowledge what we think we need to have in order mm-hmm. to be successful from a operational position, that here we get paid to come to work to do these things mm-hmm. on the behalf of the citizens of the city, and here's a way that we can articulate that, here's a way that we can best serve them with the intent of the neighborhood councils.
Mm-hmm. In a sense, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but I think your point's well taken, and how you kind of look at the process, and in a very real sense, I think offering that on the table, despite the fact that some might characterize it as a sanitized version, mm-hmm. In a very real sense, was a buy-in on the part of the staff. In other mm-hmm. words, we're buying in, and the fact that we were able to work that and keep the other interests, the other stakeholders involved, and come up with kind of a compromise of the mm-hmm. two seemed to be maybe the key of, mm-hmm. Element of success.
Again, you know, we are not stymied in places around the globe. That could be a geography lesson in this conversation, mm-hmm. from Guatemala to Bosnia to China to where. I mean, because it's not because people aren't smart. It's because people don't have an issue that they can cooperate on. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think if we have a common vision that this is in the long run the best thing for the people that we serve, the citizens of the city, how do we act out that common vision? And as long as we don't have, you know, I'm right and ultra-democracy is always the way to go, or other people who say that the power of the bureaucracy is always the way to go, that there is need for authority, need for strength in both of those positions is important, and that's why it's important to be people of goodwill with an open mind and a willingness to cooperate and to produce a product. And I think those things are just imperative in almost anything we do, and this was a situation where that imperative was met.
Were there any conversations, did any of my colleagues on the council have conversation with you about this?
Mm-hmm.
What were some of those conversations?
There were probably the colleagues on the council that I was closest to were Bill Evans.
Bob Evans.
I'm thinking of the piano player. Tell Bob that I made him...
I won't tell him.
I made him... I was, Bob, if you listen to this tape, you two, you, I know what you were doing last night. You were listening to the Kennedy awards, and there's a lot of a lot of piano playing going on, and I'm a Bill Evans fan, and I just got to talking with your wife 15 minutes ago, a half an hour ago now. Councilperson Evans,
yeah.
Councilperson Silas, yeah. And Councilperson Moss, mm-hmm. were the people I talked to the most, and to a lesser extent, Paul Miller,
mm-hmm.
About this. And it was more checking, you know, how is it going, mm-hmm. what's happening. And they were, I believe, not listening so much for content, but intent.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that, what was our vision, and how would it make the process of governing the city better? How would it make what we do more representative for citizens of the community? And as long as we gave indication that those things were headed in the right direction, I got a lot of nods and encouragement, and but not a lot of detail information. Now, we eventually went to a couple of study sessions,
mm-hmm, right.
of the city council, and I got more detailed information, as we all did, about issues that they appreciated and thought we encouraged us to do more work on, and some issues that they thought needed to be reworked and restructured so that this was a document that we could get a unanimous approval.
Mm-hmm. Didn't quite get it unanimous, but
right.
about as close as probably right. we could get. So it was essentially they're checking with you, how are things going, Lyle?
Mm-hmm.
Are we making
mm-hmm.
progress?
Mm-hmm.
Are some of these issues being resolved?
Mm-hmm.
And your response was, yeah, we're moving in the right
mm-hmm.
direction. We've got a few things yet to go, but we're making progress. So it's kind of a thumbs up.
Yeah, and you know, and we all kind of, you know, compared to what, you know, is it was an old jazz song by anyway. If and meetings, that's what I did. I worked in group meetings every day, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, and this was another group meeting. And compared to what I had seen, this was in the top 2% of positive stuff. And so people who only go to one or two meetings don't have a lot of stuff to compare to.
Yeah.
And so they may say, well, this is not going as fast. I said, I thought this was great.
Mm-hmm.
I looked forward to this meeting
mm-hmm.
as opposed to some of the other things that I was doing with different folk
mm-hmm.
with a different level of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
I know the commitment was high
mm-hmm.
here. The people who were in the group from the community and from city government were capable people, people who had integrity,
mm-hmm.
People who had the support of their constituent groups and the administration. And I don't think you get that by being somebody who has a my way or no way approach.
Mm-hmm.
That makes collaboration difficult. So
mm-hmm.
there were people here who had the skill, proven skills,
mm-hmm.
to try to look at the best way of doing things. And that's why, even though there was a serious conversation about the documents that that city staff presented, that those documents were eventually evaluated on their merit. Not on who presented.
You know, and it was interesting too, as I kind of worked my way through the process, I tried to sense where the council was coming as far as their sentiments. And, you know, of course they had conversation with you and they expressed some concerns,
mm-hmm.
as you had expressed those concerns about
mm-hmm.
the detail and the bureaucratic nature of the
mm-hmm.
of the initial proposal on the table. And, of course, my desire was to try to see if there was 5 votes for something, or
mm-hmm.
hopefully more than that,
mm-hmm.
more like 7 or 8 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Hal, as it turns out, was philosophically opposed.
Mm-hmm.
He had had some bad experiences, by the way. I mean,
mm-hmm.
he had been through the Alinsky treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and I haven't talked to him yet, but my hunch is that was one factor that led him to
mm-hmm.
to his feelings. And as he said to me, he said, Bill, it's nothing personal, it's philosophical.
Mm-hmm.
I just have strong feelings about this and what it represents to me symbolically. But I could sense kind of where they were going and some of the issues that needed to be resolved. I mean, it was interesting. You had kind of a balancing act, because on one hand you had kind of a sense of ownership of this proposal at the table that was initially put on the table, and some of the elements in that. And on the other hand, I had to at least see about getting as many votes as I could on the council. So we had to kind of do a little trading off and compromising to reach that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And but by the way, Harold did change his position on neighborhood councils, and part of that change must have come from discussions he had with you. Did you sense?
I know that he initially had some reservations. His reservations were never as clear to me as they were when we had the study session.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know they were that significant. And we had several conversations after that. And Harold is a very astute politician, mm-hmm. in the positive sense of the word again, and negotiator. And I didn't get an impression as to the fact that he was or was not changing, but he had many interrogatories of me about the intent of the council, neighborhood council process, and I explained to him as best I knew how what we were trying to do and the processes that we were involved in, and he nodded, but I didn't know whether he had aces or mm-hmm. or threes in his hand.
Yeah.
But eventually that may have been a part of helping him see this differently, and I don't know what other methods of inquiry he used to deal with his knowledge or philosophical base around the neighborhood councils that allowed him to have less reservations than I saw formally in that study session.
Best way to find out is to ask him directly, which
right.
I intend to do.
Right.
Because, I mean, he did a rather extraordinary thing. He actually, at the dais, did a mea culpa to me,
mm-hmm.
and said that, that his mind had changed on this, and he saw this as a worthy endeavor, and that he was going to do what he could to make it a success. So that was kind of extraordinary. It doesn't happen very often.
Mm-hmm.
We have someone that would say that in public.
People of goodwill with an open mind.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, you make the comment about your experience at this particular table, and you've been through, I imagine, every conceivable group process that one could come up with. I mean,
mm-hmm.
from community-based to interracial to the whole gambit to inter-bureaucracy out in the neighborhood, what have you. And it was interesting that you said that of all those experiences, you'd put this at the top 2% in terms of an effective process.
It is. There was a common vision.
Mm-hmm.
What could we do? Well, there was a background. It was clear from the city summits that this was something that people wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So. You know, one of the things that's different between, some smart person sitting down and saying, oh, this is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of smart people who know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a core backing that this question has been asked and answered by a number of people with very little opposition, that this would not make, using this method would not make the city a better place for all concerned, the people who run it and the people who are served by the people who run it. And
yep.
so I mean, you didn't have to go back and debate that. And so we all had a kind of common vision that something was happening that would move us in this direction. How far it would be, we don't know. Will we get to Seattle, or will we get to Cleveland, or will we get all the way to the, to the Atlantic? We didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew we were heading on this trip. And that many of the meetings that I'm involved in, people don't have a clear understanding about where it is that we're going and should we go, and people haven't bought into the process. The people who wanted to be on the committee in the first place say, hey, we think neighborhood councils are a good thing. So nobody got on the committee to stop the neighborhood council. So that's a good process. that the, mm-hmm. that people came representing groups, and so it's not a personal mm-hmm. Agenda. This is my agenda, that you don't have representation unless you represent the ideas and the moods and the concerns of the mm-hmm. group that you have. That you're part of a city organization that has supervisory authority and you are providing technical. I mean, we had a lot of conditions in this environment that are not existent in other environments, and a lot of checks and balances that exist in this environment. Now, that's the positive. The negative is that when you come with all that kind of stuff, you may snuff out any creativity mm-hmm. or imagination or aha kind of stuff, you know, and that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And so we said, you know, here's this the Magna Carta, and I may be doing disservice mm-hmm. to the Magna Carta. But anyway, we had this large document,
yeah.
and then we're going to pare down, and we're going to adjust, and we're going to maneuver, and we're going to come from this direction, and people accepted mm-hmm. those on based on the merit of the suggestions, mm-hmm. not based on who suggested
it. Mm-hmm. Interesting outcome. It's worth writing about,
mm-hmm.
I would say,
mm-hmm.
definitely. I thought maybe... as we get to the end, maybe
okay.
share a little bit about your personal background and so that
sure.
I get that story straight.
That's my
and then
favorite.
Any other thoughts you might have for the
that's
record.
That's my favorite subject. My favorite subject. By way of who I am, I'm 51 years old. I was born in Chicago, came up in a labor family of organizers, UAW, mine mill and smelter workers. Mm-hmm. Shoe meat packers, all of that kind of stuff. Lived in Tacoma since 1966. Background in research, primarily in sociology, undergraduate degree in sociology from the University of Puget Sound, graduate degree in sociology from Pacific Lutheran University. 2 years of doctoral work. In fact, Dolores Silas and I went to school together. Mm-hmm. Most people, she tries to not let people know that we did that because I was a very aggressive person in school.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in psychology that I was studying, and so I do have some graduate training in clinical psychology. Worked in state government and mental health. Worked in community organizations on the boards of the NAACP, chair of the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collective, Tacoma Community Foundation. A lot of civic work, which is the work that I enjoy the most. My current position, I have a budget, biennial budget, that's every 2 years of about $2.5 billion. I have about 8,000 employees. And I have six administrations ranging from mental health, developmental disabilities, alcohol, substance abuse.
What is your title?
Assistant Secretary for the Department of Social and Health Services.
Okay, terrific. Any other thoughts come to mind as far as...
No.
You came out here, by the way, through the military, didn't
yeah,
you?
Came out here in the military. Ain't gonna study war no more.
Yeah,
kicked out of the military. Worked with the Vancouver Committee to Aid War Resistors. Met my wife in Vancouver, Canada. Was married in Vancouver, Canada. Came back here. Went to work for the Department of Defense after I got kicked out of the military. Doing alcohol and drug treatment as a clinician, and. Had a lot of job offers all around this country, from Rhode Island to Providence, Rhode Island, Tallahassee, Hawaii, and have chosen to stay in Tacoma. I identify with Tacoma. I actually live in Puyallup. I spend almost all my time in Tacoma. I am a tremendous fan of the city of Tacoma. I could not imagine living anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Or being anyplace else, and some people say you must be narrow and unimaginative,
mm-hmm.
and you can't. But this is an old existential philosophical thing about existence before essence, or essence before existence. I think my essence is here, and therefore my existence is. and so I don't consider myself to have essence in any other places. You know, you're just another face in a crowd, somebody in an apartment walking along a waterfront in Miami is meaningless to me. I need to feel and breathe and be a part of the bricks and the people and the moon. And this is where Providence has brought me, and I appreciate it, and this is where I want to stay.
And Tacoma's been good to you?
Tacoma has been extremely good to me. You know, I kiss the ground every day that this is not Chicago. I don't want to be in that kind of environment, and this is a great environment for me. Tacoma has been, I think, and I will remember what the thing I will take out of this meeting. I will not forget again, and to say, not only do I enjoy Tacoma and I want to be here, is that Tacoma has been very, very, very generous to me.
Yeah. You know, when I finished this little project.